Good morning to you early risers. Good to have you to our theology class. Nice to have Lynn to our class. This morning we're on the subject of inspiration. If you haven't received a notebook, there are some new ones back there. And if you do have one, we hope that you picked up the new pages. There's two of them to put in there. Our subject this morning is a very foundational subject for all of theology, and that is the inspiration of the Scriptures. And so it is a starting point, foundational truth for the study of theology. So very important that we grasp this and are very much persuaded of it and believe it. Because if a person doesn't believe that, they're dead in the water when it comes to theology. So this is very, very important. So we'll wait for everybody to get their notes there. While we're waiting, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We have two key passages on this subject that we'll look at especially. This is one of them. 2 Timothy 3:16. And let's read the context. Verse 14, in the light of the last days, Paul exhorts Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Bill, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Now, we're going to follow this outline here. Definition: the theological term inspiration is a process by which the Scriptures, sacred writings, in their original autographs, were accurately recorded due to the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. And so that's coupled with 2 Peter 1 that we'll look at a little bit later under dual authorship. We know God wrote the Bible. We know man wrote the Bible. And that man was controlled by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the Bible. Inspiration does not mean that the person was inspired like the writing of a poem. And even as the apostles and prophets wrote the Scriptures, it doesn't mean that they were inspired, but the Scriptures are inspired. That's the point. All Scripture is inspired. Now we'll get to the more technical aspect of that a little bit later. Now notice it says plenary inspiration is the inspiration of all of the Bible. All Scripture is inspired by God. Verbal inspiration is the inspiration of every word. Let's turn to that passage. I'd like to turn to these passages for the most part if we can, because it's good to know them and to see it for yourself. Matthew 5:17. So, all of the Bible is inspired, every word is inspired. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. "Think not," Jesus speaking, "that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, those are little punctuation marks in the Hebrew. And so, every single word, every little detail is going to be accomplished. And that touches upon the authority of the Scriptures also. So it comes down to every word. Now let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 20 in verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, and he goes on, and he gives the Ten Commandments. But notice the specific words are important in chapter 24, verse 4 of the book of Exodus. Again, emphasizing the words. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And chapter 34, verse 1 of Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And farther in the chapter, verse 27, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord, and it goes on. Now, God's words that he gives, obviously they're using human language. And there's a lot of details I don't have here. In fact, this is condensed of about 60 pages of study to 2 pages. So, and the language is created by God. God uses human language to communicate to us. Man is created in God's image and therefore with the ability to communicate. So God is using words. So it's very important. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:13, let's go to this passage. Paul, we have seen, he talks about revelation, inspiration, and illumination in this context. And for inspiration, notice in 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. By the way, that tells you that the Bible has a wisdom that transcends man's wisdom. That's very important to realize, because you have philosophers, you know, and if we needed philosophy, you'd go to take a philosophy course. But if you're going to study theology, you go with the Bible, because it's God's Word. And you don't want to conflict the two or think as you read a book, this is the authority. No, it isn't. This book is the authority. And you can test any writings of man or preaching of man by this book. Isaiah 8:20, they don't speak according to this word, is because there's no light in them. And then John 17:8, we won't turn to it, but Jesus said, the words that thou hast given me, I've given them. The words. And so it's very important to realize that. All of the Bible is inspired. Every word is inspired. Now, we saw the subject of revelation last time. And it is preliminary to inspiration. Inspiration is based on revelation. Revelation being God communicating to man what he would have him write. Now, not all revelation is inspiration. In other words, not all that was communicated to the prophets was written down in the Holy Bible. But some of it was. Inspiration is closely related to special revelation by which the authors of Scripture received communication from God in order to write the Scriptures. Now, those passages, you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 11:23, that which I have received, I have delivered unto you, that the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. In other words, Paul directly received communication from God about the Lord's Supper. And that's what he's saying. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, another illustration. Now, even though this parallels with John 14, Paul directly received this by revelation, and then it was turned into inspiration. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. And so we receive this directly from the Lord. We're giving it to you. Several places he says that, and that was true with the apostles and New Testament prophets, Old Testament prophets who wrote the Scriptures. So they would receive what we classified as special revelation, a close intervention from God, not just, remember, general revelation, creation and so forth, but this would be special revelation was given for the writing of Scriptures. Ephesians 3:5, here Paul's talking about the doctrine of the church, which was communicated to him and the other apostles. Ephesians 3:5, Paul's one chosen to write about it, though. It says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What was that? The doctrine of the church, that Jew and Gentile would be in one body. That was something new. It was revealed. It was communicated. Just checking if you're awake. And then it was written. Now, inspiration, though, remember, it's distinct from revelation in that inspiration is the process by which God's mind was accurately written, recorded. Now, this is an important note, the end of that Roman numeral 2 there. The inspiration process also incorporated non-specially revealed sources as well for the writing of Scripture. Let's go to Luke 1. We saw this. And, you know, God's not limited in how he got the job done. And what he ensures to us in inspiration is the accuracy of what was written. But here you have Luke, who is a physician, but he's also a historian. In Luke 1:1 it says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. In other words, he consulted with probably Mary, wouldn't you say, because he says more about the birth and the early years of Jesus than anybody else, and others, no doubt, he consulted with. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So in that case, it wasn't necessarily special revelation, but it was more indirect. However, you can trust that what was recorded was accurate. Again, there's the doctrine of inspiration, the accuracy of those original autographs. Now, looking at the process, we're going to look at two main things here this morning, the process and the evidences of inspiration. Roman numeral 3. In the process of inspiration, the Holy Spirit utilized the human authors as instruments to communicate the message originated by God. Now, here's what's important to see with that, by the way. The message was originated by God. We'll get to that. This process as a whole included the creation and training of the individual set apart for this task, as well as the providential orchestration of all the events, relationships, language, and culture that play a part in the resulting product. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. In other words, well, we'll see a little bit later here. Paul, he said, I'm an apostle from my mother's womb, Galatians 1:15. Now, he knew that after he was saved and God used him in that capacity. He could look back on it. Remember, who was it? One of those kings said, much learning hath made thee mad, Paul. He did have much learning. And also, Gamaliel, the teacher there of the day, and he was one who was raised up with a very good knowledge of the Scriptures. There's other things, too, related to Paul with his language ability, his ability to write. God used that. And same way with Moses. He was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, it says in Acts 7:22. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But just showing how God orchestrated that. And so he was behind it all. But also you could say the relationships, you know, Paul's writing to Timothy. Well, that's Holy Scripture that was being written, but it was a relationship, his spiritual son, whom he's exhorting. And you could go farther, couldn't you? You could even get into, the Roman, you could go back to the Greek, Alexander the Great conquered the world, basically, and he made it mandatory that the Greek language was used. Well, that's what the New Testament is written in, the Greek language. And so it's very articulate, isn't it? Hebrew language, very poetic, you know, for the writing of the Psalms. There's some Aramaic in there too. And so God was behind all of that. You could go farther, couldn't you? You know, the Roman Empire made it possible with the Roman roads and so forth, even for the spreading of the gospel, you know, and the word getting out. But that's beyond inspiration there. But getting back here to the midway of this paragraph, God prepared the vessels through whom he would communicate truth through the scriptures. And then you know the background with Moses. He was a Hebrew, but then he was raised in Pharaoh's court, and then he chose the lot of the Hebrews, but he had that education of the day in Egypt, which was probably the strongest country in the world at that time. And then you have Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah didn't think he was qualified. Well, God said, you are, and I've called you from the beginning. This was his purpose. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And so, there's no mistake about that. Now, Peter, that's an interesting one. You might say, well, what kind of training did Peter have? Well, he had some pretty good training. Acts 4:13, it says, the leaders of Israel, Sanhedrin, said, they noted the boldness of Peter and John, and they noted that they had been with who? Jesus, for about 3.5 years. Probably it would have been the highest training you could possibly get. I bet you it was a very saturated training. And then let's go to Paul. Well, I guess I quoted that. An apostle from my mother's womb. God provided the poetic language of the Old Testament, the articulate Greek language of the New Testament, to effectively communicate his truth. Now, we looked at 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is inspired by God. The Greek word there means God breathed. And there are volumes written on that, what that means. It definitely, to boil it down, it means this. God created the scriptures. And you can compare it to Genesis 2, verse 7. It says that God created man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so that was a creative act. So God created the Bible. That's what you can count on. And maybe in your mind you're thinking, well, man had a part, therefore how trustworthy is it? We'll get to that. But we want to see this first of all, that God wrote the Bible. You maybe like the old illustration. I take this pen right here. It's a cheap pen. Bic. And the characteristics of the pen are going to be seen in the writing, okay? But it's under my control. It's my mind, you know, that's going to write those words. Well, so it is with God. But God wrote the words, even though he used man as an instrument. Now let's go to Psalm 33:6 on the thought of God breathed. 33:6. Here you have a creative act described in a similar way. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. By the way, in anything that God does, you know that it's beyond us. So you don't want to get too hung up on understanding everything in the Bible, because you can't. That's a given, isn't it? Because it's transcendent. You know, it is God is above us, his word is above us, his ways are above us. And so his ways are past finding out, Romans 11, 33. And so that's, we ought to stand in awe of the scriptures. We don't understand, how can a man be born again? Well, the wind bloweth where it willeth, and the Holy Spirit, this is a work of God. You can't understand it. You can't understand this either. It's very similar to how God did this, but he did this. It's his creative act. Now let's go to 2 Peter 1, which is the other key passage on this. The important thing is that we're convinced of it, that we believe it. In 2 Peter, but he does give some explanation here in the process. God created it, but he used man to write it. Chapter 1, verse 19, we studied this in 2 Peter. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And now we saw a more sure word of prophecy is more sure than an eyewitness account, which Peter refers to in the, back in verse 16, and how we didn't make known to you fables, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We saw Christ as He will be in His coming in power and glory. That's a preview of that on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he says, we've got something more sure than that, more sure than an eyewitness account. That's the Word of God. You know, today, in your Pentecostal circles, for instance, they're big on manifestations or, you know, experience. Well, the Bible is more sure than experience. And so that's what we can go by. That's what is sure. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't trust anything else quite like the Bible. And then notice this, holy men of God spoke. Now, holy is sanctified men, set apart unto a specific purpose. It doesn't really deal with the holiness of their life, but I don't know that you can actually divorce the two, because remember Isaiah 6, for instance, and holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, the seraphim brings alive, coal touches his lips, he's purged. Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. So there was a sanctifying process in the life of the prophets, but the point here is these men were set apart for this purpose. These men were chosen for this purpose. And then notice they're moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's referred to the same Greek word in Acts 27, where it talks about the ship that Paul was in the Mediterranean Sea there in the storm, and the ship was borne along by the wind. If you can picture it, you know, the wind filling the sails. Well, that can give you a certain mental picture. These men were borne along as they wrote the Bible, and it was motivated by God. But notice this, it didn't come, and I should have had that in that little outline, it wasn't of any private interpretation. In other words, it wasn't something that they originated. It was that which God originated, correlating with 2 Timothy 3. It's inspired by God. So they didn't come up with it. God did it. But they were used in their writing. Now, dual authorship, under B there, point 4. Dual authorship of the Scriptures exists without compromise. Now this is important to see, because the question comes, well, how, if man is involved, how can it be infallible? You know, how can you say that it's perfect? And we'll get to those doctrines related to inspiration that are important to realize. The infallibility, canonicity, authenticity of the Scriptures. Well, it exists without compromise. This may be illustrated by the two natures of Christ, His deity and humanity, united in one person without compromise of either. In other words, that's the doctrine, hypostatic union of Christ. He's every whit God, He's every whit man. How could that little baby be there in a manger and be limited? He really was a baby. Wasn't super baby, you know. He was a baby. He was a man. But He was God. That's a mystery of godliness. And in neither nature was compromised. So God did that. Now God did this with the Scriptures. So you have the use of man, and it truly is written by man, but God wrote it. And so you can count on it. It's perfect. And then the process of inspiration involves God, the Holy Spirit, working through the chosen human authors. This process was not mechanical. In other words, it wasn't dictation, you know, where they just wrote like a person taking notes, you know, as it's dictated, without the writer's mind and will being utilized. They were utilized. It included the writer's personality, education, circumstances. For instance, Moses was learned in the wisdom of the Egyptians, Acts 7:22. Luke wrote as the beloved physician, many references along that line in his writings. Paul's much learning was evident in his writings. By the way, Paul, you know, Romans, if you know the book of Romans well, that's your systematic theology of the Bible. And it's very logical, right? Sin, justification by faith, sanctification, and then, of course, you get God's purpose with Israel, glorification, And so that's Paul's writing, but God gave him that ability. And the style and vocabulary of the writers is evident, yet was used by the Holy Spirit to accurately convey the truth God intends. Dual authorship is expressed throughout the Scriptures. I almost hate to use that phrase because God initiated it, but He used man to write it. But man was involved in it. And let's go to 2 Samuel 23:2. This is David speaking. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. Very clear statement. And he's conscious of it. Let's go to Matthew 1, verse 22. Now, there are literally hundreds of passages like this. We're just picking a couple. Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Now notice that. And of course this is quoting Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. But the Lord by the prophet. And so there's the process. But notice that. The Lord by the prophet. And then let's Matthew 15:4. Here you have two passages referring to the same thing. And one place it says God said it, another place it says Moses said it. Both are true. Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Then notice Mark 7:10. Mark 7:10, Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So you do have the dual authorship brought out. Let's go to the book of Acts in chapter 1. And here I believe you have it in one verse again. Acts 1:16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took him, took Jesus. And Acts 4:25. So again, the Holy Spirit is attributed to the writing of the scriptures in a special way. Sometimes it just says God or the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. 4:25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, the people imagine vain things? Psalm 2. So now in some instances we have record of God instructing the prophets to write. I don't know if I have time to turn to those. Let's go to Jeremiah anyway. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 2. Could have written these out, but I'm trying to keep it 2 pages per study here. Chapter 30, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Okay, now we won't look up those others, but in Isaiah you have it too. So over and over again, you have instruction like that, and you have statements that show there's a dual authorship. So it shouldn't be that which causes you to stumble because, well, this next section might be that which drives it home a little farther. When God says something, it is absolute. You know, when God states something, you can count on that because of His veracity, He can't lie. Because of His authority, and He's got the power to bring to pass what He says. So when it comes to the Scriptures really being the Scriptures, you can go by what He says about the Scriptures. Does that sound like circular argument? Well, let me read this next statement. And the evidences of inspiration. Evidence of inspiration is seen in such things as their preservation. We will look at that. Prophetic fulfillment, inherent quality, such as accuracy, continuity, and wisdom, and their effects upon men. That's a huge section in itself, what the Bible does for us. So all those things show that the Scriptures are true. The highest assertion of the inspiration of Scripture is the Scripture itself being the Word of God. These assertions are found in the Old Testament, New Testament Scriptures. God's Word is the highest witness and testifies of itself. Now, 1 John 5 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God, that God has testified, God has given His Son. And you go on in that section, and that section has to do with assurance of salvation. It says, these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, so the witness, the highest witness there is God's witness. And so we can look at all the different evidences, but in the study of bibliology and the subject of inspiration, we're just looking at one. We're looking at what the Bible says about itself. Now, knowing that it is inspired, that's the highest attesting of the truth of it. Now, you have assertions of the Old Testament, you have assertions in the New Testament about itself. And again, these are just a few, because it's all through. And in fact, sometimes it's interesting, and we'll see this when we get to the authority of the Scriptures. God and His Word are even used simultaneously, or are used interchangeably. And we'll get to that. So it's just so assumed throughout the Scriptures. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. We're looking at what the Bible says about the Bible, since it is the highest authority. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Okay, that's what he's saying. He's a true prophet. This is the word of the Lord. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 16. You know, a prophet was a representative of God before men, and a prophet was very conscious of the fact that their message was from God. It's just like Jeremiah when he was threatened with his life. He said, you can kill me, but your blood's going to be on your hands because I am sent from God. He knew he was sent from God. And Moses, for instance, now if I've done these things by myself, may these Korah and his clan die a natural death, but if the earth opens up, you know God sent me. They were very conscious of that. And Ezekiel 3:16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and then he records it. Exodus 24:12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come, and he goes on. So God communicated. Now, this next section, you can't turn to all these passages. I'm going to have to just refer to most. But the Lord Jesus Christ testified to the inspiration of the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, he did that by verbal reference when he cleansed the temple. And in that reference, he said, make not my Father's house a den of merchandise. It is written, it shall be a house of prayer. He quotes two passages there, Isaiah and Jeremiah. But he did it on the authority of the Scriptures. And then he answered the chief priests and scribes with the question, have you never read? I can't quote that one. Let's go to Matthew 21:16. Several times Jesus said that. Have you never read? It's an inference again of, don't you know the Bible? You know, this is the authority. This is what to go by. The authority of the Scriptures is so interconnected with this thought, but we're going to do a separate study on that. 21:16. Get to it here. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And then by answering the skeptical Sadducees for their not knowing the scriptures, and you could add to that, nor the power of God. That's when they came up with the scenario about the man that, or about the woman who has seven husbands and then died, and in the resurrection, whose would they be? You're, you know, snickering, thinking, we got them here. Well, have you never read? But he refers to the scriptures. And then notice number four, by rebuking the Pharisees for making the word of God of no effect through their tradition. And in that case, they said that it's Corbin, it's a gift. I can't help you, Mom and Dad. So they disregarded the honor of their parents, made an excuse for that. And they made the word of God of no effect. That's the final court of appeals. Now this is an important one, number five. By answering the devil with, it is written. And that's what you and I can answer the devil with, by the way. It is written. There's the authority, there's power in that, because it's God's word. Jesus asserted the inspiration and authority of Old Testament scriptures with a strong statement that every jot and tittle will be fulfilled. We looked at that. And stating that the scripture cannot be broken. John 10:35. And so every detail will be fulfilled. Not one part of it can be broken. And then verse 7. Jesus emphasized the necessity of the fulfillment of scripture regarding his ministry in reference to his being taken in Gethsemane. I'd like to turn to a couple of these. Notice in Mark 14:49. Now he knew it was predicted. He knew it was written. He knew the details that were written about him and what he was going to go through. And then it must be fulfilled. In Mark 14, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. This is when they apprehended him in Gethsemane. But that the scriptures would be fulfilled. And then his betrayal, maybe we won't turn to that, but he that eateth with me raises up his heel against me, I think it says, quoting, I think it's a Psalm 69, and that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And then Elijah's famine is referred to. Can't turn to all these. Naaman's healing, the bronze serpent, the manna, Jonah and the fish, Nineveh's repentance, which are interesting. I skipped it somehow. Christ made mention of many significant, and boy, I skipped down to number 8 all of a sudden, didn't I? Okay, I overlooked there. His sheep being scattered, his suffering and future glory. Let's go to Luke chapter 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In other words, wasn't it written that all this had to happen? Verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I'll skip over to verse 44, if you will. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets in the Psalms concerning me. We have an overlap here in my order. But notice the miraculous events, not just the aspects of Jesus' life and ministry, but then he refers to the Old Testament where all these things truly happened. My trifocals didn't get lined up here. And you have Adam and Eve, the flood, Noahic flood, the destruction of Sodom and judgment of Lot's wife, the burning bush, Elijah's famine, Naaman's healing, the bronze serpent, the manna, Jonah and the fish, Nineveh's repentance. And that, by the way, is interesting because your skeptics and your higher critics will say, well, we question the miracles of the Bible. We believe what Jesus said, though. Well, if you're going to believe what Jesus said, you have to believe the miracles of the Bible because he refers to them. And it goes back to the beginning. In the beginning, God made them male and female. In the beginning, so you have all these references to Scripture on Jesus' part, showing that this is the authority, this is the Word of God, and this is the final court of appeals. So in affirming these events, Christ so much as affirmed the inspiration of the Scriptures which recorded them. Now that's Christ's testimony, very briefly. Now, the Lord Jesus, notice point C, Lord Jesus Christ gave prediction and pre-authorization to the apostles for the writing of the New Testament. And my time's going to run out. But you may be familiar with those passages where he said the Holy Spirit's going to be given, and he's going to guide you into all truth, and he's going to show you also things to come. Now that does have a general application, I believe, to a Christian. But it has a very specific application for those who would write Scripture. And John 17, he's praying not just for those who believed on him, but those who would believe on him through their word, through the apostles' word. And so there's like a pre-authorization, a prediction that the apostles would write. Now, the apostles themselves also testify of the inspiration of the Scriptures. Now, this is an interesting one. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:18. This is where, now here the question might come, well, how, we have all these references about the Old Testament. Certainly Jesus' statements would have been primarily about the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? What does the Scripture say about itself? Notice in 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide... That's not what I want. 1 Timothy. What is it? Thank you. 18. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now he's quoting two passages. The first one's from Deuteronomy. The second one is from Luke, very clearly. And so he's quoting Luke as Scripture. So Paul asserts that his own writings were the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says, he that is spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write unto you are the commandments of God. And he, in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says that the Thessalonians heard him as the teaching, as it is in truth, the Word of God, not just the Word of man. Now let's go to Peter, 2 Peter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. Pardon me, verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So he's referring to Paul's scripture, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So there's Peter's recognition of Paul's writings. So he refers, now 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, you have a general reference to the prophets. In chapter 3, verse 2, it says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And so that's what the writers of the New Testament say about themselves, their own writings and each other's writings. And then finally, John asserts his prophecy is from God. And we've studied that recently. And in fact, it's so authoritative, he says at the end of it, now if you add to these words, or you take away, I'm going to add the judgments to you, or take away the blessings of this book. And so the writers knew they were writing Scripture. Now, I know that's brief, and that's the problem we have in condensing here. But inspiration is very important to realize. Understand what the Bible says about it. Remember the two key passages, if you don't remember anything else. 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is inspired by God. 2 Peter chapter 1, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And their writings weren't of any private interpretation. In other words, God originated that, and what they wrote, we do well to take heed unto, as a light that shines in a dark place, Peter says. In other words, this is something that you want to believe. Remember what Paul said to Timothy. Now, in these last days things are getting worse, but continue thou in the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. All Scripture is inspired by God. In other words, this is truly God's Word that you can believe, you can stand upon. And there's a lot of applications, but let me just make one in this final paragraph here. It says, since the Holy Bible is truly the Word of God in every part as created by Him, it reflects His very character, carries His authority, communicates His blessing to all who believe. It is truly the basis of our faith, the anchor for our hope, the sure guide for every aspect of life. Now, the point being, it's absolutely certain. It's absolutely sure. And so it is that which you can believe. And it's, now we believe this. I trust everybody here believes this, right? But in a study like this, I know it gets detailed. It's more of a study, isn't it, than a message. Hopefully it will drive the nail deeper of conviction, where we are very much persuaded, I can believe everything in this book. This is what God has communicated to me. I can believe this above my own reasoning. I can believe this above the words of men, philosophies, and so forth. I can believe what God says. And, you know, in our humanistic age today, it goes like this. Follow your heart. Or you have it within you. You've got the light. Just fan that a little. Well, according to God, this is the primary revelation. This is it. This is His book. This is what we do well to take heed unto as a light that shines in a dark place. This is what we want to continue in. And so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews talks about how the hope that we have in Christ is an anchor to our souls because of the immutability of God's counsel. He can't change. When He says something, it's settled in the heavens. It'll never pass away. It cannot be broken. So it's something very sure you believe. I thank God I can give that to people in nursing home, you know, and they're dying. You believe this message now, you're going to be in heaven. It's definite. It's dogmatic. Thus saith the Lord. And so it's great, isn't it, to have something like that. And then for life, in the practical areas of life, it's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. The entrance of His Word gives light. We want to know something about any aspect of life. This is the place to go. Not to TV and what kind of wisdom can I get from man. And no, what saith the Lord? You know, what does the Word of God say? There's where the answers will be. And it's no wonder, since it is the Bible, that Satan has attacked this from the beginning. Hath God said? And then historically you had what's called higher criticism that came out of Germany at the turn of the century, 19th century, and they are picking at the Bible. We're trying to criticize the Bible. Well, we don't stand in criticism of the Bible. The Bible stands in judgment upon us. And when we understand it's the Word of God, and if there is something we don't understand, the problem's in us. It's not in the Bible. And so, it's wonderful, isn't it, to have something so sure. You believe it? If you want to rest your faith in it, the Word of God. Now, we'll get to more details related in future studies. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word today. We thank Thee for something so sure that's been given to us, that's settled in the heavens, that cannot be broken. We thank Thee, Father, for the Bible. And help us to get all that we can from it. Help us to hold it to our hearts and have it in our minds, but in our hearts and in faith and obedience. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.